Hi, I'm Rick.
I'm Dan.
I'm George.
I'm Jake.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
In each episode,
we're going to talk about everything from growing up queer in the South
to the issues affecting our community today,
with a little bit of fabulous sprinkled in along the way.
Join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of queer joy,
mixed in with the occasional bitch fest,
but always served with the spiciest tea.
Hey, Barbie girls.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Alan.
Right. Hi, right. Barbie.
Hi, Alan. Welcome back once again for another episode of Queer Magnolias.
Yes.
We are down a magnolia this week.
We
Dan
are.
Was unable to join, but that's okay.
We're still giving it our full Kennergy.
Exactly.
We are Knuff.
I think I've had enough of this joke, but
we just started.
Well, whether it's blush or bashful, this episode is going to be covered in pink because we are going to talk all things Barbie.
We are Barbie. Would you say three in the pink?
If you can fit it.
And Dan is clearly in the stink this week.
This episode is going to be filled with a lot of spoilers for the Barbie movie. So if you haven't seen it yet, you might want to tune your ears out and come back when you have.
That's right, girl, because we are going to have at it.
Indeed.
So why don't you brush your hair and grab your accessories and throw on those high heels as we walk out the door with the world's beloved doll. Or is she?
Obviously, yes. Oh,
obviously. The answer is
what
yes.
Is that? Was
well, I mean, that's the whole point of talking about it today. I think if you've seen the movie,
read the room, sweetie. Oh, yeah. Read the room.
Yeah.
Well, we have to have all perspectives here. And I think now is a perfect time to start talking. And I feel like this episode is a lot. George is going to have a lot to say.
Why do you think that, Jacob?
I mean, I don't know. Because you like pink.
And
dolls and Barbie and yeah.
So I think this is perfect for you, George. I think you should start us off. So just go, dive in.
Get in there.
Get up all in there.
Wait, are we talking Barbie or movie? Or just
I think
Barbie?
We're talking all of it together as one omnipresent deity. So we've all seen the movie.
Yes, twice.
I've seen it only once. I saw it yesterday for the first time because while it came out in LA or everywhere else in the world, I was in North Carolina visiting family. And surprisingly, no one in my family wanted to go see it. So I had to wait till I got back to Los Angeles to find that everybody I know had already seen it. So I had to go. I had to find one friend. It's like, I haven't seen it yet. I was like, okay, we went. And I saw it. And I loved it. And yeah, I have thoughts. I have thoughts about how they handle the history, how it's so smartly written, how they pay tribute to things that are so small detail in the Barbie universe. So I love how like they put the original creator of Barbie, Ruth Handler, in, played by Rhea Perlman. Like there are so many amazing little nods to the history that I just found is coming into it being someone who knows a lot about Barbie, I loved, but I also see if you don't know any of it, you still love it. Like it was so smartly written. I could gush for a long time. But Rick, I feel like you probably don't, and Jacob, well, you've lived with me for a long time, so you probably do know a good deal about Barbie. So I want to know what your opinions were. How did you feel seeing it, Rick, apparently twice?
Well, you are spot on in that I am obviously familiar with Barbie. I don't know how you can live in this world and not be familiar with Barbie. Right. But I would not call, at least not on the level that you are, George, a Barbie fan. And for those of you that don't know, George has an entire lower level of his house dedicated to nothing but Barbie and dolls and it's a lot. I went into this movie and I've said this to anybody that will listen. The only reason I saw Barbie was because of the Barbenheimer thing. Now, Oppenheimer, is Christopher Nolan, you know, I'm a big cinephile. I was definitely going to be there to see Nolan's film. It was already a given. And when this whole thing started with Barbie and Christopher Nolan and Barbenheimer and all of the stuff, I'm like, oh, really? Come on. But then it got to be kind of fun. Everybody was sort of getting into it. And I was like, all right, fine. There's no way in hell I'm dedicating one entire 10-hour day to this whole experience, you know, but I saw Oppenheimer on a Saturday and Barbie on a Sunday. I gotta say, I really liked Oppenheimer. But when I came out of Barbie, I was like, wow. I would never have seen this movie had it not been for Barbenheimer. And that movie was far and away much better than the experience I had with Oppenheimer. It is just mind-blowing to me how much I loved that movie. I was shocked by how much I absolutely love this movie. And so much so that I've seen it a second time. Mm-hmm. And as all of you will probably find out in the next day or so, we might be seeing it again on the following weekend. So I'm working on some things. I'll let you know in the next day or two. But if you're around and you're in town, I'd love to have an outing.
Oh, girl, sign me up. I have Barbie dolls you can all carry.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it, love it, love it.
Jacob, what were your thoughts?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I stayed awake through the entire movie. I did not fall asleep once, which I'm...
Well, that is a testament.
And I'm known for that a little bit. And it could be a movie that I want to watch. And I'm just, it's just like the perfect elements in a movie theater, especially if I'm full of popcorn and sugar and shit. I'm just done. But I loved it. I thought it was so good. It was very unexpected. I didn't have any expectations out of it going into it. I thought it was going to be just like just a kid's movie. And it certainly is, but at the same time, it was definitely made for parents to go and see it with their kids to also enjoy it.
I'm going to disagree with you, though. I thought it was a queer movie, 1,000%. Well, like, yeah. The gays are all in here because it's Margot Robbie. It's Ryan Gosling. Come on now.
Okay. I'm going to let you finish. You finish, Jake, because I want to jump on that queer train of what's in the movie for the gays.
I think obviously Barbie is meant for, was meant for young girls.
Yes.
And they definitely portray that right from the get-go. They give you a little bit of a history of dolls in general and how Barbie completely changed the way, kids play with dolls. I mean,
which is 100% true. Before Barbie, every doll that was manufactured, mass produced for little girls was a baby doll, I don't know. Some might say grooming them to be mothers because that's all little girls could ever be.
Yeah.
And then Barbie changed all of that.
So.
And they do address some of that in the opening of the movie.
They do indeed.
And spoilers. So.
You've probably seen that trailer. It's amazing.
No, I think it certainly was the idea and the concept made for young girls, and especially nowadays, maybe not necessarily just young girls, but... there's definitely pandering to the queer audience. 1,000%.
I mean, come on.
I mean, I feel like that's a great blend, too, to have a movie that's for everybody. A little bit for everybody. I don't know about straight guys. I don't know how happy they'd be go seeing it. But you know what? Try it.
We have straight listeners. Who can say? So I will say there is a sister podcast. And I'm going to give a little shout out here by the name of Bitches with Beards, who I have recently come to know and listen to. And we've been sort of chatting back and forth in DMs. And they went and did Barbenheimer weekend. And as soon as this is over, they recorded their podcast and did a Barbie episode number one about Barbenheimer. And they had so much more to say that they're actually doing a second episode. So I threw some questions out to them. I was like, I'd love if you could address this, but I actually want to sort of talk about it a little bit for our podcast as well. One of the questions I had asked them is, and I've reached out to some people that I know, what is the metric to measure the queer dollar, the dollar amount that gay people spent to go see Barbie? And I've got a couple of people who do box office numbers that are looking into that. I'm probably not going to have an answer for a few days, but they do have the exit polls. So they did promise to get back to me with a number on that. But I am kind of curious, what do you think the number, how much of a percentage do you guys think was attributed to queer audiences seeing Barbie?
So I feel like any number I'm going to give you is going to be a little jilted a little. It's going to be a little one-sided because I and so many people that I follow and who follow me on social are doll collectors. We're gay male doll collectors, and Barbie is such a big thing, and we all love Barbie. We'll get into Alan, and obviously Ken, and like and Ryan Gosling. So of course, like, gays are throwing money at this film repeatedly.
Yeah.
And that's what I see. I don't know how many people are taking their kids to see it. Like, that seems a little like, is that happening?
Well, they have to. PG-13 movie, so.
Well, there were a lot of kids in the screening that I was in.
There were no children when I saw it. And I saw it on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, this is the first time I've gone to a movie in years where the theater was filled. It was like, in the last few movies I've been to, it was like maybe a couple handfuls of people.
Yeah.
This theater was packed. I couldn't believe it.
Were there kids?
I don't know. We were kind of late, so I was just happy the movie hadn't started yet.
Well, you've always got 30 minutes of trailers before any goddamn movie starts.
I know. I thought it was 15, but it's more than that.
No, it's 30.
Thankfully it was. Since like a movie. But I feel like anything that young girls, teenage girls love, queer people do as well.
Right. Yes.
You know, Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus, Lisa Frank, we're all there.
I saw an article.
The chicken and the egg, which came first, you know?
I can tell you who came first. The rooster came first.
The rooster came first.
Thanks for keeping it clean, Rick.
Right?
That's what I do, you know? Family content all day long.
All day long. All you can eat buffet of family content here.
Oh, that's right.
Of cutting up and
exactly.
Carrying on.
Carrying on. Well,
I completely forgot what I was going
to
say now.
It's fine. It'll come back to you.
I'm sure it will.
I do want to point out, so one of the things I loved about this movie, loved, was how they made so many references to the Barbie dolls and Barbie doll extended family and universe. That failed.
Midge. Yep.
And they were real dolls that were put out into the universe. Pregnant Midge was a very real thing. She had a plastic dome over her stomach. Like if you took one of those plastic Easter eggs and just took half of it, that's what they had. And it had magnets in it. And it stuck to her tummy and inside was a baby. And you could take it off. And of course, then she's skinny Midge. And you take the baby out. Oh, now she's got a baby. Put your own symbiotic fluid and placenta inside.
at least not after the first time when you take it out of the package.
And the attention to detail, because the doll has the two little braids and she has the purple dress with the empire waves because she's pregnant. So good. But the thing that delighted my soul, is the scene where the Barbies are all gathering their army. And in their dream house are the two Kens that were canceled and discontinued.
Uh-huh.
Which
Sugar
were
Daddy.
Sugar Daddy, which of course is Sugar's Daddy Ken.
Yes.
And then Earring Magic Ken, which became known amongst collectors, especially gay ones, as Cock Ring Ken. Because around his neck, he wore this necklace with this big, on it. Little earring, purple pleather vest, purple mesh crop top, black jeans. Cock ring Ken.
That's a detail that they don't point out, obviously.
No, they don't have to, because they know the people that are there for it are going to get it.
Yeah, it's so filled with Easter eggs. This entire fucking movie was just like, and it's so stylized. Like every scene has pops of color.
Yeah.
And just like, it's just like in your face.
And don't it's just... It's perfect. So I saw a lot of behind the scenes because, you know, that's what I do. I search that shit out. The second I get home, I'm like, And I'm looking at how they shot a lot of the stuff. And when she's driving in the car out of Barbie World. And
closer into... I am to fine.
Yes, exactly.
Little Indigo Girls.
They shot that practical. None of that is green screen. It's all shot on a stage practical with a road that they're actually rolling up behind them and moving the car along.
I love that they put
what she's
the actors,
done with this movie is just amazing.
They put the actors in the actual world. They're like, you're going to be in the Barbie world. It's
practical.
Like imagine behind you. Right. It's like Jim Henson making a movie back in 1987.
It's so good. So if you've made it this far into the podcast, you've probably seen it. Go see it again. If you haven't seen it, you need to go fucking see it.
I want to talk about Alan.
Yeah, you would know more about Alan character than Dahl.
So Alan is a gay fan favorite. He's always been a gay fan favorite. Long before the movie, Alan was released for 1 year. 1 year, that was it. And he was billed on his box as he's Ken's buddy. They're the same size. He can wear all Ken's clothes, which is literally the gayest thing you could ever say.
Sounds like his boyfriend.
And there we have it. And Alan's a ginger and he has brown eyes and his little turned up nose. He's very cute. Alan is a very cute doll and gays dog collectors love Alan. I have a couple Alans myself. When I heard that Michael Cera was going to play Alan, I was like, ooh, I don't know about that. Why are you doing that to my boy? But I think he did a great job. Yeah. I think he did. He gave that character some depth and some pathos. And like, he was great. He was really great. I love what they did. I love that he was on the side of the Barbies, which read into that what you want. Yeah,
right. Just with the sisters.
And I love that he's like, everybody else is, they're all the Kens, but he's the only Alan because he is the only Alan. That's it. There was one.
Well, and that so there's Kens. Are there other male dolls other than Alan? Is he the only one? Is the only Ken?
Here's the thing that they gloss over a little bit. They do give dolls other names. Like there's Steven, which is the black Ken. His name is actually Steven, but we're not going to address that. We're just going to say they're all Kens because basically they are. They're all the Kens. And the Kens just all, and especially now, Barbie and Ken have a wide range of facial sculpts and body types. Now there's like broad Ken, which is like the thick guy. And there's like model Ken, which is like super thin and longer. And then there's standard Ken, which is Malibu Ken that we all know. And there's Barbie, there's petite Barbie and she's short and tiny. And then there's tall Barbie and she's really tall and thin. And there's so many body shapes now and head sculpts and so many different skin tones. Like Barbie and Ken are everybody now. And I think that's the point they're making. We're all Barbie and Ken.
Well, I feel like that's kind of how, that's what they were doing in the movie too. In making Barbie more human, they made us a little more of the doll at the same time. You know, do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, because it's that mirror. It's that mirror image where Barbie was so shocked when she gets to the real world that the real world isn't what she thought they were creating. But yeah. And the discovery of patriarchy.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And how Kim brings it back.
Oh, and its relationship to horses. That's my favorite.
Well, Ryan Gosling just ate the furniture up, and he was so fucking good.
He was so good.
I mean, he's hot. He's hot. He's always been hot. But I will say it wasn't, and I will catch hell for this. I know I will. But it wasn't until La La Land that I really kind of started to notice him. Oh. And it was mostly in the way that he moved, because I didn't realize he used to be a dancer and a singer. Well, not so much a singer. He doesn't sing as well as he dances, but he used to be a dancer.
Yeah, we've all seen that video when he was like seven with right. MC Hammer pants.
Exactly.
Sublime.
So
I had to do it.
Exactly. Yes. Seeing him, like, it wasn't until La La Land where I started to notice him, and it was because he was dancing in the movie. And it's not the movie itself, it's just the way he moved. That's the other thing I wanted to talk about. Seeing him in this movie was, God, such a joy to watch this man, like Jake said, just eat up the fucking furniture. Yeah. Those dance scenes that they did. I mean, I have been doing that shit for 2 fucking weeks. I can't even tell you. It's just, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with it. Obsessed with it. I'm actually going to cut this together with the Dua Lipa music that will get kicked off. Get us
cut. Oh my God.
Yeah. Spotify, but whatever.
Oh, that wig she has on.
Oh my God. That is one thing I'm going to say. That was like, come on. I love Dua Lipa so much, but.
Ooh. Can we talk about Issa Rae though? Oh my God. As president.
Yeah.
Oh,
president Barbie. So amazing.
And hitting up the Supreme Court. I'm like, love it so much.
So good. I also think that like, just the fact that the attention to detail that was paid in this movie, like obviously everything's pink and we love, but the logo placement, like how Ken's underwear have Ken on the waistband. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, it's so perfect.
It's smart. It's so smart.
It's done so smartly. And what also really gets me, and that I love, 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 and I applaud Mattel for this, is they got behind it. They said, yes, this is what we want people to think Barbie is.
Yeah.
And that is a bold choice for a multi-billion dollar toy company.
Because they were not presented in the best light
they
in
weren't.
This regard, and the fact that they actually said, you know what, that's okay because we like what you're doing. I mean, that to me, like, how fucking brilliant is Greta Gerwig to get everybody bought in on this thing, and Margot Robbie, because I think it was Margot's production company that produced it, and
the way they portray the board and Will Ferrell,
Will Ferrell just being
perfect casting.
And the fact that they know that Barbie Land exists, that that's a real thing, and they've had this problem in the past.
Right. Yep.
And the FBI gets involved. That was so cool. That was just so cool. The movie was very, obviously very satirical. And it brought up a lot. I feel like I was almost watching an episode of South Park in that it was just bringing up all kinds of satire and how they're portraying themselves. And it was just, I don't know, it was awesome.
And that's what makes it so smart. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Can we talk about Growing Up Skipper for a minute? Because that was another discounted doll that for real, when you buy her, she'd be like Little Skipper with the flat feet. And you would pump her arm and she would get taller and her boobs would pop out because she was Growing Up Skipper. And they make the reference to that and she's got the original outfit on. It's so brilliant. I can't get over the detail. I can't get over how much love they heaped on people that knew Barbie.
Yeah, I don't understand the flack that it's been getting right now. Like, you know, how...
From conservatives?
Yeah, conservative men, mostly. Yeah.
And it's first of all, they always need something to talk about since they don't fucking have anything else to talk about among themselves.
Mm-hmm. We have to talk about America Ferrera's big fucking moment in the movie, right? I don't think we can have this podcast episode without talking about that. When she has that monologue moment, I know it was meant to be female empowerment, but I felt every goddamn word of what she was saying. And I was like, yes, 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 yes. And the fact that she had to say it to snap, well,
every spoiler, single Barbie.
Spoiler. But did you notice, because this is the shit that I pay attention to, she did it different every single time.
You got a different part of the speech every single time you saw her do it. Yeah.
So good.
And there was a part of me that when they said, okay, you have to give that speech to every single Barbie, I was like, bitch, if you told me that, I would have recorded it. Like, I can't say this.
I love how they handled it, though. Every single thing was different. I love it.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so good. And I loved the fact that there's a trans Barbie. Did y'all catch that?
Yes, I did.
They don't make a big thing about it. She's just there.
Right.
Yes, of course I do.
Again, you have to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what did
her
she
name
say?
Her name is Hari Neff, though.
Yeah. And I love that they don't make a thing of it. There she is.
Mm-hmm.
And to that point, last year, Mattel released a Laverne Cox Barbie.
Really?
Did they? I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Yes, Mattel.
I love that so much. That's
it was
awesome.
Last year or the year before, but it was very recently. They did a Laverne Cox Barbie.
I love that so much. I don't think I knew that.
Well, we shall put it in social.
Done. And the other big moment.
Yes.
Is the old lady on the bench, the you're beautiful moment. I mean, do you know who she was?
I don't know who she was, but let me just say before you go into your diatribe about it.
Because you know I'm going to go crazy.
That moment hit me. Like, that was such a quiet, tiny moment that had so much weight.
I cried when it was such an unexpected moment that came out of nowhere.
Of course.
And it was the first moment, I think, in the movie where I was like, fuck. And it's like, I was like, oh, okay, tear just came out.
Right, because it's plastic and it's pink and it's, and then suddenly it gets so real in this tiny little moment. And you're like, this is what Barbie's about.
Yeah.
Because Barbie's everybody.
And here's the beauty of that moment. That moment is that lady, everybody thinks that that's actually Ruth Handler, right? The person that's created Barbie, but it's not. It's actually Anne Roth. And she is an Oscar-winning costume designer who is a very good friend of Greta Gerwig's. And it's a moment that she wanted to put in the film and it felt very passionate about. And when it made it to the final cut and she presented the piece, executives at Warner Brothers are trying to cut the scene because like it's unnecessary. It doesn't serve the film and da da. And she stood her ground and she said, if I can't have this scene, why am I making this goddamn movie?
Yeah.
And so they let her have that scene, and it is one of the most powerful moments in the entire fucking film.
It 100% is.
Cheers to fucking Greta Gerwig and Anne Roth.
No, because that movie suddenly gives that character so much depth that I don't know that she had before. Like, you're rooting for Barbie because she's, you know, she's going through whatever she's going through and you know, suddenly she's got flat feet and God, we all know what that feels like. But suddenly she's like real. because it's like, oh, that moment is so beautiful. I'm so happy it's in the film. I'm so glad she battled that board of executives that, you know, were all men saying,
well,
like,
for sure,
cut the scene.
Straight white men. It's like, why do you not need,
well,
that? Need
that? Yeah. Where's the pink? Bring back Ryan Gosling and the Kens.
I mean, you can bring back Ryan Gosling and let them beach each other off. I'm here for it all day long. So
well, his job is beach. That's all his job is. Yeah.
You can beach off real
me, baby.
But okay, I do think we all love Barbie. Everybody loves Barbie. Barbie's amazing. We're all here for it. But here's what I'm a little afraid of, is what comes now that Barbie's been such a big success. Because I don't know if you've heard about the Polly Pocket movie that has been greenlit. It's being directed by Lena Dunham, which I know sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch, but it's real.
Oh God.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. I'm gonna throw it back to our sister podcast friends, Bitches with Beards. Hi, bitches. We love you.
Hi.
I actually threw this question out to them, and I wanted them to sort of dive into this question so we can too. How many other different IPs are we now going to see coming to the forefront because of the success of Barbie?
Well, I personally am waiting for the Strawberry Shortcake movie.
I know that you are.
Is the sun going to be talking to us in that movie too?
I hope so. I want Strawberry Shortcake directed by Guillermo del Toro. That's what I want.
God. I would watch that 1,000%. That would be
George,
awesome.
I love that. And you know, I actually know the guy, so maybe I'll pitch it.
Pitch it. Let's do it. Pitch Make it. This happen.
Right?
All right. Oh, all right.
I will only take a small cut of the idea.
Yeah, you will. Yeah. I will pitch it, actually. I will, if and when I run into him again, I will bring it up.
Do it.
Well, you know, I think maybe we should stop thinking pink and think drink, because I'm empty.
Oh, I like to think pink and drink, but I'm hearing what you're saying.
You know what? Agreed.
I'm in.
Let's do it.
Well, I wish Danny could have been with us this week, but you know.
We miss you. We'll miss you, mama.
That's right.
So we love you, Dan.
And we love all of you all, our wonderful blossoms.
So we'll see y'all next week.
We will indeed. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Queer Magnolias podcast. We all love you and the amazing support and feedback you have given us thus far. So much we need more. We would love to hear more brilliant brainstorms from you magnificent magnolias. So we highly encourage you to be included and find/follow us at Queer Magnolias on Twitter and at Queer Magnolias Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, if you haven't already. We would love to hear your comments and feedback, good or bad.
No. Nobody wants their bad comments. Fuck off.
And you can listen to us on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcast, wherever the hell you're listening to us right now, or wherever you might find your podcast. All right. Until next time, Blossoms.